Bienvenidos and welcome to the inaugural edition of the Familia Fantasy Football Podcast, a.k.a. Familia FFB. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and primos, Hector Reyes and Ricky Torres.
What's up, guys?
Orale, orale, orale! So this being our first show, we're going to give you a quick introduction to us and our format. We're a huge Mexican family and call ourselves La Familia. Our parents' generation has 12 kids. Our generation has 40 kids, 20 boys and 20 girls. Our kids' generation is pushing 50 and growing. Yeah, we get over 100 people at Christmas and other holidays. Yet we never run out of tamales.
Never.
Nope. never. Everybody's got plenty to take home.
Yep.
So the inspiration for this podcast came from what we've all seen around our familias. Spirited debates that bordered on arguments that can be quite entertaining. Many have been brought on by our very competitive 12-man fantasy football league called Familiology. It's been around since 2010, and it was made up completely of members of La Familia. We argue a lot and bet many beers. I say competitive, but Primo Ricky makes a habit of winning our league.
Damn straight.
How many times?
Justin ours 3 times, but every other year you can expect me to be in the finals.
And he lets us hear about it. So we also saw that among all the fantasy football analysts out there, we didn't see many Latino faces. So we're stepping our chanclas into the fantasy fray to represent the millions of Latinos who love football and play fantasy. Really, porque todos somos familia. So we're launching our first show on Cinco de Mayo to commemorate our shared Mexican heritage and also to poke fun at those who still think that it's Mexican Independence Day. I'm hijo, I tell you. I can't tell you how many times I've had to correct people about that, you know.
What is it? So let us know, George.
No, you let us know. You
okay, so during the Franco-Mexican War, that was one battle between Mexico and France, the Battle of Puebla in Jalisco, Mexico. So that's a little bit of research there, combining with a little bit of Mexican history. So there you go.
Usually it's just a day where everyone brings in their style of tacos to work. So.
And you know what? Hey, we don't need much excuse to eat Mexican food.
Never.
And actually, you'll be hearing a lot about that on this show because it's going to be we're going to talk about football, but we're also going to talk about Latino life. And for us, a lot of times it means food, it means getting together, it means drinking beer, it means just enjoying life. So, hey, you know what? We get to enjoy life and talk a little football.
That's it.
So, time to meet the primos. As I mentioned, Ricky and Hector are both beer aficionados. In fact, I go to them all the time for recommendations, and they're going to give recommendations on here. So let's start with our reigning champ.
All right, my name is Ricky. I very first started fantasy football 10 years ago when we started this league. But yeah, I'm a very, very scientific guy. I'm a nurse, so I love crunching numbers and looking ahead, which is why I have so many trophies. But yeah. Every year, everyone's afraid to see me, and everyone tries to find out what's on my head, what my strategy is. So, I'm ready to share it with everybody else and kind of let you guys get started on making your own dynasty like I have.
And, you know, one of the things, you know, Ricky is one of the many frontline workers during this pandemic. So, you know, honestly, we want to thank him and everybody else who's out there putting their lives on the line. During this tough time.
Thank you, Rick, for sure.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, definitely thank you so much. And Hector, you go for it, baby.
I'm up. So I'm, as a member of this, our Familiology League, I have to say that one of the main jobs of everyone in our league is turning down trade offers from Rick. That's basically, innumerable trade offers that this guy throws out, and we talk trash about how ridiculous they may be. So that being said, that's a big part of our league and probably a big part of why Rick has won so many, but
you lose 100% of the trades you don't make.
There you go. So there's that. So a little bit about me, Hector Reyes, hardcore fantasy football fan. I started out, you know, as many of us have, loving sports since I was a child, going to Dodger games, smelling cigar smoke in the stands when they used to smoke cigars in the stands, watching Garvey, Lopes, and Ron Say, and Bill Russell. You know, that's what got me started. That's where my love of sports began. collecting baseball cards, you know, 86 as a 13-year-old, collecting data, memorizing the backs of sports cards, memorizing my Beckett monthly pricing guide, trying to figure out how I can make a quick buck selling baseball cards, making money with my friends. And my first rotisserie league, because I studied so much and learned so much about baseball and history and stats, I would talk to my baseball coach in high school about, you know, different statistics and players and batting averages and such. He invited me over to his, you know, his rotisserie fantasy league, you know, pencils and paper and erasers, to try my luck against, you know, putting up my research and my knowledge against him and his grown-up buddies. As my cousin Jorge mentioned, hardcore beer aficionado, as it stands right now, I just finished off a LA Ale Works Martian Occupation Hoppy Red Ale. Currently working on a Green Cheek New Adventures. It's a coffee golden ale, just, you know, awesome. So I'll be talking about a lot about beer as we go through the season. I'm a sneakerhead. I'm wearing a pair of Dodger Vans right now. So, you know, definitely a hardcore Dodger fan growing up here in LA for sure. So that's a little bit about me. 20 years in insurance sales and, you know, using my knowledge, of course, in selling baseball cards to develop a sales career. So who knew, right? So that being said, I'll throw it over to George. So tell us about you, Jorge.
Well, first off, I want to let you guys know, Hector's nickname in the league is hashtag research. So, and that's one thing. We all love to do our homework. We're all geeks about this stuff, and we all love to, you know, kid ourselves in the way Latinos love to kid ourselves. So as I mentioned, I'm Georgie. I'm the viejo in the group. I've been playing fantasy sports since 1990 also, when Ricky was only 3. When I started, we kept football stats by hand, and points were scored mainly by touchdowns and kicker points.
Yep.
I'm an avid player in football and baseball leagues, and currently own teams in 3 leagues with very different point scoring formats. So I'll be able to jump in and talk about different ways that players are affected in the different formats. In our Familia League, I'm infamous for building these great regular season teams that eat mierda in the semifinals and then lose in the consolation bowl. And Ricky especially likes to let me not forget
about it. He's the Dallas Cowboys of the family.
So you can imagine, these flops have cost me some beer bets, and Mi Familia hasn't let me forget it. I'm married to the lovely Shannon, and we have 3 girls, Solana, Rhianne, and Larissa. Hey, girls! And they're all sports nuts themselves. You'll also hear about my past career as the publications director of the Dodgers. And as we grow, we hope to be joined by guests from those days. Before we jump into talking about the recent NFL draft, we're going to introduce a segment called Cheesemit, where we break down NFL news that has fantasy implications. And since we're talking about rookie quarterbacks today, we've got a few veterans who have fantasy implications. Hector, Jameis Winston, what is up with that signing? What do you think of that?
You know, he had to go somewhere. so you know, obviously Tom Brady going over to the Bucks, Jameis Winston, you know, he's free to go where he wants to. Saints picked him up. You know, Sean Payton's going to have to deal with this interception machine in Jameis Winston. I've never had him personally on one of my fantasy teams, but, you know, I know that here and there he can throw for chunks of yards, get chunks of scores, get chunks of points. But if you needed him to score for you that one week, you know, he might have thrown just enough picks to give you that loss. So I'm not a big fan of going forward as far as fantasy implications, but, you know, that's just me. What do you think, Rick, about the Jameis?
I think you're right about that. No fantasy play at all. Because they got Taysom Hill, so they're not even going to use him in the Wildcat. So all Jameis is going to be is the backup when Drew Brees does bad. And honestly, Drew Brees is always good one year, bad the other. This year he's actually going to do good. So I don't see him sitting out and being injured. He's already about to retire. But because they only got Jameis on a one-year deal, I don't see Jameis staying in New Orleans too long. I think this is just a little stop for him to try to learn. Hopefully he takes it to learn, because that dude throws almost as many as interceptions as he does touchdowns.
Yep.
I mean, Sean Payton is such a QB guru, and you got to love the fact that Jameis is still only 26. Isn't it crazy top 2 picks from the draft were Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and now they're both backups?
It almost makes you think, like, what's the point of drafting a quarterback early if this is going to be the outcome?
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, Drew Brees was picked at the beginning of the second round, and we all know where Tom Brady was picked. I mean, I still think that you want to pick a quarterback early, because those are the guys that are going to make a difference. True. I mean, you know, you got a Peyton Manning who turned into one of the best of all time. Troy Aikman, another guy who's an all-time great. But really, you know, it's what happens to him when he gets the good coaching. So hopefully for Jameis, he gets the good coaching. Maybe he learns. Maybe he takes it to somebody else because, again, he's only 26 years old, and he could really make a difference.
I think you mentioned coaching. I think that when you talk about coaching and quarterbacks, that goes a long way. I mean, look at Jared Goff. I mean, that's a perfect example. Jeff Fisher is not even coaching anymore. Because Jared Goff came in, he was number two after Carson Wentz, right?
He's number one.
He was number one. Carson Wentz number two, yes. So Jared Goff comes in, number one pick. He goes to the Rams. He's supposed to be, next coming at Drew Brees. Jeff Fisher's his coach, and the guy just stinks up the joint. And people are saying it was a terrible pick, and wow, we never should have picked that guy. And then he comes in, Jeff Fisher's gone. And then here comes Jared Goff the following year, takes him to the Super Bowl. So it's obviously coaching plays a big, big part in QBs and your team as a whole for sure.
And I believe that 100%. I just feel like, is Jameis, he's not going to play. So is he going to take this moment, this year, to actually learn and develop from Sean Payton? Otherwise, it's a lost year for Jameis.
And, speaking of another guy who's going from a starting gig to backing up. I mean, Andy Dalton, 32 years old, 9-year starter, and now he's backing up in Dallas. It's his backyard. He lives in Dallas. He went to TCU, so he's definitely going to have some fans. But Dak Prescott has been a starter for 4 years. He has started every game and completed every game. So you got to figure for Andy Dalton. I mean, a redshirt year at 32 years old?
Oh, most definitely. I don't see why. He's from the area. Why not just go there and start your retirement plan already? Right? It's like he's going to be a second string forever. For now on, he's got a good chance of playing because Dak is on and off. But, I mean, it's a great move by the Cowboys because now they can light the fire on Dak. But also, they got Andy Dalton for cheap. You're talking about $3 million a year. Jameis was only for $1 million, so people are getting these huge number of quarterbacks who have started for years for cheap, and they're also their second string. So I think Andy Dalton not going to play. But if he ever does get to play, it's not a bad spot for him to be. He does do a little bit of a downgrade on the wide receivers, but I mean, you can't deny that being a quarterback at Dallas, when you're from there, isn't going to make you play a little bit better.
Wait, is he going to downgrade on the receivers? He's got Amari Cooper.
Compared to AJ Green, Joe Ross, I've heard.
Hurt.
He's still, I mean, the Cowboys got, who are they? They got Gallup and they Amari got Cooper.
And they just drafted one of the most highly rated rookies. We'll see, but you're agreed. CeeDee Lamb still has to do it.
So it's not a major downgrade, but I still don't see anything to be excited about. Like, ooh, look at this weapon he's got now. Yeah. He's got a great running back, but other than that, Dalton's there to retire. Dalton's there ready to be second string.
And what about what Des Bryant tweeted out about the disrespect?
And what is that?
To Dak Prescott, saying that it was disrespectful that the Cowboys signed Andy Dalton before putting money down for Dak Prescott.
I can see that a little.
Yeah, but They're paying Dak Prescott $31 million this year anyway, which is 10 times what they're going to pay Andy Dalton.
And maybe they just want to light a little fire underneath Dak. Just so motivation. If he wants to be worth 40 a year, 35 a year, he's got to start playing like it. Because right now when Dak gets pressure, he's hit or miss right now. Sometimes he's amazing, sometimes he's just flat.
Eso.
This is just a little motivation for him to sharpen the edge a little bit.
Hopefully, bring the homeboy Andy Dalton.
And speaking of a guy who gets motivation, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, how crazy is that? You know, second round pick 3 years ago in 2017, and now the Bears, they declined his fifth year option. So basically, he's paying for a contract. He's playing for a contract this year, and he may actually become a backup before the season even starts. Wow. I mean, they traded for Foles. Is it a right idea for him to be doing a backup role already?
Yes, in the sense that no one should back up Foles. Foles is a career backup. That's what made him there. So I think you give Trubisky a little bit more of the year. It's his final year. Least you can do is give him 4 or 5 games, let him suck completely before you throw. Foles does better when he comes in halfway. You let him start the season, what happens? He breaks a collarbone.
Or even what, 2 years ago in 2018, you know, coming off the Super Bowl when Wentz still wasn't recovered from his injured knee, Foles was meh. You know, he was está bien, not even that good. And then all of a sudden he comes on and he wins a playoff game for them because Wentz got hurt at the end of the season and then almost beat the Saints the following week.
So it's almost better for the Bears to let Trubisky start and let Foles finish off.
So hopefully, but I mean, it's still got to be driving Bears fan nuts.
Yep.
That in 2017 they took him with the number 2 pick.
Who'd they pass on?
They passed on Mr. Mahomes, Mr. MVP of the Super Bowl, and NFL MVP in 2018, and Deshaun Watson, another franchise quarterback who was coming off a national championship.
Didn't they trade up for Trubisky also?
They traded up into that spot.
That's. I mean, that GM's got to be in the hot seat at this point. If you did that, you pass on Mahomes and Watson. That's.
You're not going to be on TV too much longer.
Well, no. They say you don't really get a chance to try and draft a franchise quarterback more than once as a GM. So you got to get it right. Yeah. So I don't know either Mitch Trubisky. I mean, I'm a firm believer in sometimes a guy needs a light a fire under his butt to kind of see the end of his career or the end of a starting opportunity to come through. But I don't know. For 2 years, we've seen tons of inconsistency from Trubisky, I don't know if it's there.
Hot one game, but, you know, cold another. From a fantasy standpoint, you're not going to trust Mitch Trubisky because, like I said, one game he's hot, he'll score a lot of points and have a great game, high QB rating, and then, you know, passer rating the next game, he just
And I was so excited last year because he was always in the free agency when those bye weeks came. You could use him. But it was just like, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. So now, hopefully this lights a fire on his butt. But this is the exact reason why I think it sucks to be a team that has to draft a quarterback within the first 10, even the first round. So speaking of.
Let's go to the NFL draft. Let's go to the NFL draft. You know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the virtual NFL draft. What a great thing it was. Obviously, the relief fund raising over $100 million was incredible.
Adapt and overcome.
Yeah, we got to meet Bill Belichick's dog. We got to see we got to see Kyle Shanahan's Wolf of Wall Street play. So. But again, you know, one of the things that we were expecting to see all along was Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number one pick. I mean, a year ago, did any of us know who Joe Burrow was? No way. I mean, he seemed okay. He looked like he maybe would be an undrafted free agent or maybe drafted to be somebody's backup. And then he goes from that to zooming to having probably the greatest quarterback season in college football history.
Absolutely. I mean,
60 TDs, 6 interceptions. But you know, before anything, one of the craziest things about Burrow, that facts that I found out, he is a month older than the 2019 NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson. I mean, that is just beyond anything.
Which sometimes I like it when the quarterbacks come in and they've had years in college, they have age on them. Because I feel like even though it's something not based on science or anything, but it shows maybe hopefully they can have a little bit more maturity.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to get a windfall right now. They're going to be bombarded with so much stuff. Can they keep football in the forefront?
Right.
Can they make sure to be studying those plays? And when it comes to Burrow, I mean, hopefully this all doesn't go to his head because he had a hell of a season compared to the year before where he only had, 18 touchdowns compared to 60 this past one. But, I mean, yeah, I like having a smart quarterback because they definitely can take more bows.
No, and I think you can't knock Joe Burrow. The fact that, you know, that title game against Clemson, you know, everyone's picking Clemson. You know, as far as, you know, their history, Clemson was coming in, they won the title game the previous year, right? They won the championship the previous year. They come in here, and here they are. This is the same Clemson team. They're supposed to come through and still beat Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow comes in there in a high-stakes game, high-pressure game, and he kills him. 463 yards, 5 touchdowns, ends up a perfect season, 15-0. I think he's a real deal. From a fantasy standpoint...
Does he play?
Exactly.
Well, they opened up the job for him. They released Andy Dalton. He's got the job. But think about it. How many times does the rookie quarterback blow up? Kyler Murray had his moments last year. Daniel Jones had a couple moments, but you know, Kyler Murray might have been a guy that you played a lot because of his running ability. But you know, Joe Burrow with quarterbacks so deep. Who, you know, either of you guys going to take a chance on him?
If I was in a two-quarterback league, I would definitely get him near the end as my third quarterback. Because by the time you're going to need him, it's already going to be week 6 or 7. Someone would have already picked him if he blows up the first 3-4 weeks. And he might, because you know what? They're going to be doing garbage time. Bengals are going to be getting mad garbage time, so he's going to get a lot of time out there to throw it. And if he just has those stupid games like Jameis did last year, who wouldn't want him to be their quarterback whenever their other quarterbacks have bye for a two-quarterback league?
Yeah, you might be able to stream. A lot of people have talked about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady as far as comps for him. I went and looked back at Peyton Manning's rookie year. He threw 26 touchdowns. That's on the good. He also threw 28 interceptions. That's not on the good. Threw a lot of yards, but the thing was, it's the second year. To me, I think Burrow is a guy that you target in dynasty leagues, in some sort of keeper league. Yeah, I think he's got an offensive coach. Zach Taylor comes from the Sean McVay system, so he's a guy who maybe, and this is going to be the time he gets to draft his quarterback. He gets to develop his quarterback. So maybe there is that opportunity. Ricky, you mentioned the weapons before. And they do have weapons.
They have really good wide receivers. Yeah, fast wide receivers.
You need A.J. Green back healthy.
And Joe Mixon, you know, in the mix, Joe Mixon, he's going to open up
the game. The line wasn't there. The line wasn't there last year. It took them forever to get a rushing touchdown. Phillip Rivers had more rushing touchdowns at one point than the Bengals. So and that's why it's important to have fast receivers so that Burrow, if he's going to get blitzed and has to throw it real quick because the line sucks, he's got guys there.
And how's A.J. Green's health? How's he looking as far as coming back?
I think A.J. Green is going to sit out every year as long as he plays for the Bengals.
he's
mystery
moving.
Ankle.
He's changing addresses? What's he doing?
Not if he's a franchise tag.
Well, he's got to play to get the next contract. I mean, he's still young enough. I think he's like 30 or 31. So, and receivers seem to last. That's why they get drafted higher than running backs. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's got like Megatron type of skills when he's healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the kid have some weapons. I'd hope he gets some help on the offensive line because, I'd hate to see someone get just beat up like some guys have gotten beat up in the past. So.
And it seems like if he's gonna come in as a rookie, he's gonna get beat up. They're gonna have to let him take some blows. Because he's gonna have to learn. That's how fast the NFL is.
Right,
and they didn't help their defensive secondary that much. So they might still get into some shootouts. So he may have to throw. So he may be a good dart throw on certain weeks. Maybe the home games later in the season. So
sure, he'll get scooped up. I mean, he'll definitely be. I don't think any drafts are gonna go without picking up Joe Burrow. He's definitely a guy to pick up and stash late rounds. And you know, if you know, see how it goes. He may be that diamond in the rough that blows up. And he may be that Patrick Mahomes from 2 years ago that was drafted in, you know, super late rounds, 11th round, 12th round, and, you know, nobody thought that he would blow up the way he did. So you never know.
So you guys think Burrow actually might be on a fantasy team by the end of the draft. What about the next big quarterback, Tua, who went number 5 to the Dolphins?
Tua. Oh, my goodness. Tank for Tua. People were saying that the Dolphins were going to tank for Tua this year. This past season, and they tanked, and then all of a sudden they won some games thanks to Ryan Fitzmagic, and then all of a sudden they're sitting there at 5, and everybody's like, is he going to last? And then people are talking about, is he going to be healthy? So I love his throwing mechanics. Steve Young was one of my favorite quarterbacks from his era, and I know people are talking about Tua being a left-handed Drew Brees. I see Steve Young, especially in the, in the throwing motion, and then the way the ball comes out, and
he throws darts.
Yeah, he throws darts, and he's accurate. To me, 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, that's just phenomenal.
That's crazy.
That's what he had. I mean, Grant, but the tough part is he didn't.
He's going to break down. That's the tough part. Honestly, everyone, you can talk about how great he is, how amazing he looks. Second he gets nicked, what's going to happen? This guy's already dealing with a dislocated hip, somewhere that has so much blood flow because of how much vasculature there and everything that's there. But then he's also got multiple ankle surgeries. So when I look at him, it's just like, I love the tools he has. I love the weapons he has at his disposal, but I'm so happy my team didn't get it. My team being the Chargers. But I just think Tua's so great that it's the perfect setup, like one of those old Greek tragedies. It's just, it's so great to see. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, it's just the Achilles heel, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't ever remember, I don't know if you guys have any input, I don't ever remember someone being drafted and there was like a spreadsheet of his injuries. It's like, oh yeah, he had this and this, and you know, there
maybe
was
one,
like,
but
yeah,
not three.
Maybe that's just a sign of the times.
Don't ever remember somebody like okay, here's this guy being drafted. Oh, by the way, he had these like 10 major injuries. So yeah, I'm staying away from Tua, you know, for
he gets an award for every broken bone.
For something.
The interesting thing will be, you know, because Fitzpatrick is there, and Fitzpatrick is going to be a guy, at the very least, he's going to be on somebody's bench as a backup. But yeah. Tua, if he gets that redshirt year, I mean, we always say, what's that the thing you say, Hector? Don't say if. Don't play
never
the if
say
game.
If. You can't say if in fantasy. It's against the rules.
But we'd like to say, so I'm not going to play the if game. I'd like to see him get the opportunity to rest, learn, let the game slow down, because as we were talking about this earlier offline, when a guy sits down and learns, a lot of times that works out. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, those kind of guys. Joe Montana, he played one game his rookie year. Yep. So
you're right, but I just don't see him sitting because he's got Fitzpatrick. Eventually they're going to get, yes, Fitzpatrick can throw mad yardage. Eventually, they're going to keep losing games, and people are going to be yelling, Tua, Tua.
That's true.
So how long are they going to wait before they throw him out there? So I definitely think he'll start sitting for at least 4 to 6 weeks. But after that, there's no way they win under Fitzpatrick. Or at least there's no way they win enough to make the fans not want to call out for Tua.
So what happens if they bring him out too early? We already saw what happened with RG3 when Mike Shanahan brought him out in the playoffs, and everyone said it was too soon, it was too soon, it was too soon. He got sacked, and he got re-injured, and now he's third string?
And that's why it's hard to bank on an injury. It's hard to say, well, when is he going to get injured or what? It's just better not to have the guy on your team. But because it's who he is, I would say, you know what, it's all going to depend when he takes that first hard hit. Everyone's going to stare at him when he's trying to get back up. And that's going to tell us for real whether he can take an NFL hit or if he's going to be a little bit slow. That's what we're going to all have to watch.
Right.
Isn't it going to be interesting, though? He's going to be playing in the heat and humidity of Miami. And where's he from? He's from Hawaii. So he's going to feel like he's at home.
There
you
go.
He'll bring a little aloha spirit down to South Florida.
There you go. And that'll help him, hopefully, to keep him loose so that, you know, that won't affect his injury so much.
But, you know, the other thing, you know, him being in the, playing, having played at Alabama and becoming kind of like a folk hero there, maybe he ends up being, you know, getting a lot of fans that way. I mean, that being the South Florida, still being a part of SEC country, even though the Canes are in a different...
And they still got swamps there, too.
Yeah,
that's
they
true.
Still got swamps.
Speaking of swamps, you know that new Charger Stadium is...
Oh,
that.
Come on. It's coming along.
It's coming along.
Well, so now that we know that Rick's team is the Chargers, tell us a little bit about your, you know, their
swamp
new
monster,
guy, the
Justin
swamp,
Herbert.
The swamp monster.
He's got
Before anything, you know, Ricky's team... Ricky, what's been your team name for forever?
Crimea Rivers.
So now it has to change since he's not number 17 is now in Indianapolis. So we're throwing around Rainbow Herbert.
Herbert.
We'll see.
That's gotta be.
I gotta really think about it. You're talking about 10 years with one name.
Lightning in a bottle. I like
with
that too.
3 championships, 5 finals appearances. I gotta think of something good. Rainbow Herbert's a good one, but Oh, there's so many things you can do with that name. But we'll have a whole episode with different names, the best names we've heard.
Right, so is he going to be your guy this year? Is he going to...
Justin Herbert will be a huge dynasty pick. The dude's half a foot taller than Tua. And you've seen how he is under pressure. Under super pressure, blitzing, he's not the best. But other than that, he threw 32-6 at Oregon. That is a hell of a ratio. Nothing compared to the 60 touchdowns from Burrow. But Herbert's a guy who's been there all 4 years. He's smart. He can still run a 4.68 or a 4.68 40. So he does have some speed on him. That's something the Chargers have not been able to count on for the past 17, however many years Phillip Rivers has been there.
Right.
Because the dude runs like molasses. But at least
uphill.
And at least Justin Herbert, we know he's smart. Hopefully he can study a little bit. Tyrod Taylor's not the best guy to learn from. But Justin Herbert definitely still has potential to be able to start this year. But I think the main thing we're going to have to worry about is just he's not going to get the playing time this year. He's not going to get the playing time next year if Tyrod Taylor does good. So he's not going to be on your fantasy draft radar, but he definitely should be on your dynasty radar.
There you go.
Could he be a guy that maybe gets some run after like week 8, maybe week 10? And if the Chargers are just kind of like 500, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, may as well bring in the kid.
And I can see that because LA is going to be a little bit tired because they're not going to have a big story going on. They're going to want to see Justin Herbert come out, big time rookie. Why not? Goff got that whole treatment. But for Justin Herbert, I mean, I don't see the Chargers doing bad because I'm biased. But, I mean...
defense. You never have.
Esos son hombres on defense.
If Tyrod Taylor makes us 3-3, I'm going to start yelling personally to get Herbert. And if Herbert comes in, if Herbert gets to start, you better have him on your team, at least as a bench, because the dude has mad weapons compared to a lot of the other rookies. He's got Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, right. And then you got Eckler in the back that can easily pull screens.
Yep.
He's got weapons at his disposal that Phillip Rivers wasn't able to take care of last year due to blocking issues. But hopefully if everyone's healthy, like Forrest Lamp, then the Chargers can get going. But if that's the case, then hopefully Tyrod can do it. But like I said, I'm biased.
I mean, one thing about him, you know, you mentioned that the 32 touchdowns, which is still an incredible season, that it paled in comparison to the 60 that Burrow had. When you look at Burrow, he had two first round picks two future NFL. Justin Jefferson was a first round pick this year, and then they have a kid, I forget his name, but they're talking about him being a first round pick. I think he was a freshman, and they're talking about him being a first round pick when he's eligible. So you know, I looked at some tape of him playing in the Senior Bowl where he was playing with guys who were likely going to get drafted by the NFL, and he looked really good. He was sharp. He threw the deep ball well, you know, guy, and he threw what looked like a really, really easy catchable ball for guys. And I saw him one time just when he really needed to drill one in there, he got it in there. I love the fact that he's got he's got all the different throws at his disposal. And I love I love guys who are cerebral.
Right.
You know, I always look back to Peyton Manning, who wanted to outstudy everybody. And I think Herbert, I'm not going to say Herbert is going to be Peyton Manning, but I have a feeling he's going to be a guy who's going to work and be a guy who's going to put in the time to learn the defenses. And I think also he's going to make a difference for his team. They talk about him being kind of a quiet leader at Oregon. People were kind of questioning it on the NFL. I think that was just smoke. I think he's going to be a good player. But I think it's really going to be 2021 for him.
I appreciate that, Georgie.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 2021, but I don't know. I don't even know.
Maybe
even
further than that.
Yeah, we're talking further than that. ¿Dónde está? Where's the love? ¿Dónde está? ¿Por qué, Packers? ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué? Why did you do this?
Right. So we'll talk about Jordan Love a little bit. Yeah, and great question. I mean, obviously, like we talked about, the NFL is a business. First and foremost, it is a business. You know, and like just like the Cowboys picked up Andy Dalton, you know, it doesn't matter if Dak feels disrespected. You know, the Packers have to look out for the Packers. So they're picking up Jordan Love. they understand that hopefully, you know, he can learn something from Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how friendly Aaron Rodgers or how much of a mentor Aaron Rodgers can be for Jordan Love. But Jordan Love's got skill, definitely can light it up over at Utah. He did really well. But as far as fantasy goes, I don't see anything from Jordan Love this year. Obviously, A-Rod is the guy, you know, for the near future.
The next 3 years, at least.
Exactly.
Four on his contract.
Yeah, but... But, you know, again, he'll have a great opportunity to learn over there with the Packers under Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, when it's his time, I think he'll do well. But for now, you know, we'll just wait and see.
Does this do something to Aaron Rodgers, maybe? Does this make you want to pick up Aaron Rodgers earlier now that you know he's got someone lighting the fire on his butt?
Chip on the shoulder a little bit? Yeah, possibly.
I mean, heck. Aaron Rodgers, when he has a chip on his shoulder, and usually he does. Yeah, he's had a chip on his shoulder since he got drafted.
What was it that he said that one season? Green Bay fans, relax.
R-E-L-A-X. And then he went like 10-0 or something like that. 10-1 the rest of the season.
So that's exactly what this is right now. He's got to tell them again, relax. I'll teach the guy 2-3 years. He'll come out just like I did after 2-3 years. And he'll throw bombs just like I did. So I think it's smart by Green Bay bringing this guy. Aaron Rodgers, I think, seems a little mean or a little cold-shouldered. But I think no matter what, Jordan Love's going to learn from him. Jordan Love threw for 3,400 yards last year, 62% completion rate.
Yep.
It's a good pick regardless. And the Packers are just thinking way in the future.
Yep.
Which they're great at business in general. Look up who owns the whole stadium.
The people, la gente.
Exactly. See,
so, and that's why it's like you can't go against what they picked.
But you, speaking of picks, he threw 17 of them last year. So, but but I think if I remember correctly, Rodgers threw like over 23 in his last year at Cal, and things turned out okay. I think I would have loved to see them in the first round draft a player who was going to help them this year. I know they talked a lot about receivers.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
They draft another lineman, draft some defensive help. I mean, they got torched by the 49ers. You know, get another run stuffing defensive tackle, something like that that maybe is going to push you over the hump.
And I see your point there. I just feel like maybe that's also where people go wrong, because it's always, do I pick what's the best off the board right now? Do I pick what my team needs today? Do I pick what my team is easily going to be needing 2 years from now? I think it's a very tough question to answer, especially in that format. So I think Jordan Love, you know what? It's not what I would have picked for them, but I can still see it being somewhat smart for them.
And it could be, you know, and heck, one of the things, he could be Jimmy G 2.0. Yep. One of the things that the Packers have done in the past is, and granted, this might have been a different regime, it was definitely a different coaching regime, they drafted and developed Mark Brunell, turned him into a starting NFL quarterback, got the guy paid. They drafted and developed Matt Hasselbeck, and he became a starting quarterback. Both of those became playoff caliber quarterbacks playing behind Brett Favre.
Yep.
Maybe this is another thing, another one like that. Maybe this is somebody who they can turn into a draft pick down the road, or a player, you know, or a player.
A chess piece, for sure, definitely. So and like I said, it's a business. You know, they're always looking 3, 4, 5 moves ahead. So as much as we want to analyze and try to understand their pick, whatever that we're thinking that they did, they're probably thinking completely outside the box. To your point, they may be looking to use this move to maybe down the road trade it up for some of the other positions that you had mentioned that they may need, wide receiver, some other positions that may help them out. So they're always working. Those gears are always training over there. The GMs are always working. So we know they're up to something for sure.
I wonder how dumb they looked when they drafted Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre was still there with a few good years left. Because would you look at those people, you know, giving their Snickers and all, and be like, hey, y'all don't know what's going to come after that.
And that's what
you're
I'm
still
going to
get
exactly.
Super Bowls and
there's
all that.
Something.
So are we doing the same thing right now?
Yes.
So who knows?
They're up to something, for sure.
And one interesting thing, Brett Favre was interviewed on Rich Eisen's show the other day, and Brett Favre himself, he talked to Aaron Rodgers, did not divulge anything that they talked about, but he did point out that he thought that Aaron Rodgers was not going to finish his career with the Packers, which...
No, I don't think so either.
And you know what? When you see that Tom Brady ends up finishes his career in Tampa...
Philip Rivers in Indy.
Yeah, anything is on the table. So
I mean, Joe Montana went to the Chiefs. So, yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, how often does it really happen where you have a serviceable veteran QB that actually stays like a Cal Ripken until the actually end of your career?
It's just pretty, not how the business is.
Exactly.
John Elway, those guys. But Peyton Manning didn't finish. Obviously, Tom Brady's not going to finish.
It's rare.
Brett Favre didn't finish.
Sure.
So, no, I
Brett Favre went to what? Two more teams, right? Yeah. Didn't he go to the Eagles and then the Vikings?
No, it was the Jets.
I know it was a green team.
You know what? For me, I've been a fan of Aaron Rodgers for probably since he became a starter. And plus, actually, before he became a starter, I was a fan of his when he was at Cal, and he torched USC in the Coliseum when they were one of the top teams in the country. Yes, I'm a UCLA fan, so please don't boo too much, Trojan fan, Trojan Nation. But yeah, I mean, anything that if it gets Aaron Rodgers to play at a high level, and it seemed like last year he was kind of learning the offense for a part of the season, and he had his great games. If he could play to that Aaron Rodgers level, which I think he still has it in him, I think it'd be great.
Yep.
You know, and you know, speaking of another quarterback, this is going to be the last quarterback we talk about in our preview. Another guy who's got a solid starter ahead of him, Jalen Hurts. He's back. He already knows he's coming in behind Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And is he Taysom Hill 2.0? Is he another Cordell / Stewart? Possible. I mean, he did run for almost 1,300 yards last year, even having almost throwing for 4,000 yards and throwing a bunch of touchdowns. He could be that kind of gadget wildcat guy. But really, is he going to find his way into anybody's fantasy lineup?
I don't think he's going to be in anyone's lineup because, I mean, you look at head coach Doug Peterson and GM Howie Roseman both said Wentz is safe. But I think you got a good point. He's probably going to come in the wildcat, and everyone knows how creative Philly's been the past few years.
Philly special.
So that doesn't make Jalen Hurts fantasy worthy unless you need that third quarterback. But even then, if you have a two quarterback league, I wouldn't want Jalen Hurts to be my third guy. He'd probably be my fourth. But he's definitely got a chance because Wentz is as injury prone as Tua, if not more.
Exactly.
So Jalen Hurts has it. Jalen Hurts is used to the lights, the bright lights, and people screaming because of where he's from.
Yep.
But probably is the opportunity there going to be there for him? And, I mean, he's not at Alabama. Alabama had weapons galore over there. Over in Philly, who's their top wide receiver right now?
It makes you wonder what he would have done if Tua never would have showed up there. If Jalen Hurts would have been able to finish out his career there at Bama, what he would have done. You
know, who knows what would have happened?
You know.
Yeah, he would have been picked probably last year. And again, who knows? I mean, you never know. The thing that really, and Ricky, you pointed this out. Wentz gets hurt. He missed 5 games in 18. He missed 3 games in 7.
With significant injuries.
Yeah.
Those are not small things. That was not a small thing for those injuries he took.
He got knocked out in the playoffs in 19. I think he's a guy that you need to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Hurts is a guy you need to keep an eye on. He might be a guy if Wentz gets hurt. Maybe Hurts is a guy that you pick up off the waiver wire, grab him in a fab, and you know, with those legs in the right matchup, he might be able to have one of those games. He could help you in streaming. He could help you in DFS. He could be a cheap player in that format. You never know.
Yep.
But again, you just go off the fact that Wentz is the starter. And then Hurts is the guy.
Yeah. And I just feel like Hurts is a huge underdog. And I just love a good underdog story. Seeing what happened to him in the championship when he got pulled at the half.
Yep.
And Tua got to get the glory after that. I really feel for the guy. But I got a question for you guys. Let's say week 6 happens. Tua, Justin Herbert, and also you got Jalen Hurts. All 3 of them are starting. Who would you put in?
Wow.
Who are they playing?
Yeah.
And what does Vegas say?
All
That's true.
See, to where I would look at who they're playing and the defenses they're going against.
Sure.
Hector's a very huge Vegas guy.
You know, I mean, you want to know what? I might roll the dice with Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Just because of the Philly always traditionally has a great offensive line, and they're going to give him time. Hopefully by that point, if he's got a healthy Alshon Jeffrey and healthy Deshaun Jackson, maybe that makes a difference for him.
Yeah.
But I think I like quarterbacks who run. Sure. That could make a big difference.
NFL's a copycat league.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. So.
And I think the Eagles are in a system where they need their quarterback to be able to get loose and get running a little bit. So that's why if Wentz goes out, I think Hurts has the best position to just seamlessly go into the offense and just run it the way the original starter did.
Right.
Compared to the others, I think they offer big contrast to the already starter. Fitzpatrick versus Tua, those guys are totally different.
Yep.
So,
but you got to love Herbert. I mean, you as a Charger fan, you got to love what Herbert's weapons are going to be.
I love what Herbert can do. I think Herbert's more set for the weapons of the Chargers than Tyrod Taylor. I think Herbert's more of a natural thrower. Tyrod, obviously, he wants to use his legs more. But, like I said, who's going to be the best for the package? I think Jalen Hurts, if he's given that steering wheel, he's in the best spot to actually do something with it compared to the others, just because his team's going to be used to his style of play.
Well, hopefully that we don't have to do that. We don't have that crazy, death march scenario.
Everyone's hurt.
Those three quarterbacks are hurt.
All the backups.
There have been those years. No, let's hope.
All the starters go to a sauna and they all get corona.
This is the last year. We're adding an extra week to the season, right?
This is the last year.
This is the last 16 weeks. That'll be a whole other episode, is how the extended season factors into injuries, because it's going to happen. People are going to get injured because of the extended season, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how that affects. That's another episode down the road.
Hey, well, that's gonna do it for our rookie quarterbacks preview. Our next episode will cover rookie running backs. You guys all love those because those are the caballos who carry your team.
The big vacas.
La vaca campanera, there, or something like that, right?
The bell cow. To translate somehow like that.
So before we finish up, I wanted to share a Cinco de Mayo story from 2006.
Story time.
Yeah, baby. Let's go. So I've been working for the Dodgers for a few months, and that afternoon I went down to the clubhouse and saw Russell Martin, having just gotten called up to make his big league debut. I'd gotten to know Russ a little bit during spring training. Great kid, very humble. And I congratulate him, and he said to me, "Cinco de Mayo, what better day to make my debut?" So now Martin is from Montreal, and he speaks fluent French. When I told him that the day commemorated a victory by Mexico over France, he said to me, "What? They beat us in a battle?" So at that point, I just congratulated him and said, "Don't worry about it. Just go have a great day." Then that night during pregame sprints, Whittier's own Nomar Garciaparra, he wore a sarape. Right there, 5 minutes before game time. And it was blinged out in Dodger colors with the team logo. And number five on 5-5. That night, he got amazing. The walk-off hit. Nice. The ball bounced off of first base. And Dodger Stadium just lit up. Dodgers beat the Brewers 4-3. Amid all the cheers, down in the dugout, one of the Dodger players grabbed the sarape out of his locker, put it on Nomar, and then he put it back on, ran back on the field to do the post-game interview. He just got an
amazing moment.
Great moment. I'm going to look for the YouTube clip and post it on our website.
Definitely.
So speaking of our website, familiaffb.com, familiafantasyfootball.com. Go check that out.
Visit us.
Yeah, so that's going to be it for our show. We want to thank Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure that you're all able to download and subscribe to our independent podcast.
Check us out on Instagram and Twitter as well, @FamiliaFFB.
Yeah, @FamiliaFFB. And then we're also going to have a Facebook page, so check us out there. If you got any questions, comments you want to share, you can also send us an email at familiaffb12@gmail.com. Also want to do a big shout out and thank you to some people who've helped us out to get started. My brother, Juan Martin, he drew our logo for us.
Beautiful logo.
Thank you, baby. El Fútbol, inspired by the Loteria card.
There we go.
Good friend of mine for many, many years, Tony Kinkella.
Thank you, sir, for
being a tremenda mano for us in building our website.
Yes.
And also wanted to send thanks out to the podcasters, Stephanie Wilder Taylor, Tom Davis, old dear friend of mine. Not old, a longtime dear friend of mine. Beto Duran, Mark Bernardin. Thank you so much for your invaluable advice on getting us launched. So until next time, listen, wishing you a safe and healthy Cinco de Mayo. Wishing you salud. And remember, todos somos familia.
Salud.
Adios, amigos.